You are now joining The Mandalorian Watch.
That's right, it's the number one podcast in the galaxy for all things The Mandalorian. I am your host, Alex Maxwell, and joining me as always is...
Mac Lacey.
Hey, Mac.
Man, it's... We're back. Sorry to leave you guys hanging, and we teased a while back that we were going to have a very special announcement, and we will be making that announcement in this episode.
Absolutely.
Probably in the middle?
Yeah. Or, I mean, like, yeah. We want you to at least listen to us talk for a little bit, and then you can, like, bow out after we make the announcement. But I don't think you'll want to.
You got to give us a little bit. We'll give you a little bit. Yeah. You know, it's a give and take.
It's a relationship. That's what relationships are built on is, you know, like, I sacrifice some, you sacrifice some.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're building something together.
Yeah.
This is my TED Talk.
So then, other than that, we're also going to be doing some voicemails later in the episode. But first, we've got a couple different things to talk about. Just you know, as The Mandalorian has been concluded, we've started to get some other things about the production of the show. And then we also received a little gift.
Yes.
In the form of some test footage.
Yeah. I'm super excited to talk about all this. But before we do... If this is your first time joining the watch, what's up?
Welcome.
Go back and listen to all of our back episodes because
listen to everything else before this.
Yeah, you're going to be kind of confused. But we are a podcast totally dedicated to the Star Wars television show, The Mandalorian. And after every episode, we break it down in detail. We also have voicemail hotline episodes where you call in with your thoughts and theories. But of course... Season one of The Mandalorian has completed, but that doesn't mean that this podcast is over. In fact, we're going to be doing episodes every single month until the release of season two. So don't worry. We are still here. Okay.
As
we
you
are
were
still
saying
here.
That, I was worried about how much you were going to commit us for. If you said week, I was going to be like,
yeah, at least every single month. At least every single month. But, you know, the announcement that we have might have something to do with that as well.
With the frequency of which you can interact with us.
Yeah, so but speaking of interacting with us, you can follow us on Twitter at TheMandoWatch and on Instagram at TheMandalorianWatch. I've done my stuff. I'm ready to talk about that little nugget of Star Wars Underworld that came out a few days ago.
Yeah.
And I figured, you know, this is something that I think we should talk about on the podcast because it's Star Wars TV.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, that's essentially what this podcast is going to become as we get more and more. You know, we're going to be covering Kenobi. We're going to be doing, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Specifically the live action. Now, if there's, obviously, if there's anything that has to do The Mandalorian in animation... We're talking about that, which this month, Star Wars The Clone Wars.
February 21st.
Yeah. Yep.
So we will be going over all of that. Just to be on the lookout for that. But yeah, so we got this test footage. I do want to clear something up real fast. Like, a lot of people have been like, oh man, it looks so bad. And like...
What's test footage?
First of all, it's test footage. It's really just like a proof of concept thing.
Right.
You know? It's just like, hey, this is what this could potentially kind of look like. Just to get kind of the production design, like get a feel for that and that sort of thing. Also, it was like back in 2010. So,
okay, here's what's crazy to me. Are you ready for your mind to be blown?
Yeah.
This footage has been on the internet since 2010. We just now discovered it.
Has it really?
It's been on Vimeo, not YouTube. And nobody...
Vimeo?
Yeah, that one. Nobody goes to that website, and that's why nobody knew.
I use it every day for work.
Right. Well, it's been there. And someone found it and put it on YouTube. And that's when it's like, it's just blowing up all over the place. How crazy is that?
Weird. That's wild.
It's been up for almost like 10 years now. And now we're just finding it.
That is very hard for me to believe. That like some Star Wars fan somewhere did not find it and... make a big deal.
Surely
about it.
It wasn't named like Star Wars test footage or something. It had,
right. It probably had to do with Stargate Studios or whatever the production company was.
Right. Or maybe someone incorrectly assumed it was just a fan film and they didn't think it was like a big deal.
Maybe that's true. Which that's kind of what it looked like, was like a fan film. But that's just the nature of test footage, right? So what do we think about it? What were your thoughts?
Honestly, like, so if you remember in the days after Revenge of the Sith, so that back in 2005, I was 15, by the way. I remember the news coming out kind of around, I want to say not long after 2005, I want to say around 2008, maybe we were thinking we're going to get Star Wars Underworld. And George Lucas had announced, like, hey, the future of Star Wars is going to be in television. And I remember reading all about Star Wars Underworld. In fact, it spawned a podcast called The Star Wars Underworld, which they're very successful. Right. Those guys are awesome. I remember hearing all about this. They were going to get the guy who did Battlestar Galactica to kind of help run the show, Ronald Moore. And they, in fact, like, they had 50 scripts written already. They had like 50 scripts all written. Yeah. It was going to take place all on Coruscant. It was going to really get into the nitty gritty of exactly what it's called, the underworld of Star Wars, and almost kind of be like, I guess akin to The Wire or something like that on HBO. Yeah. It was going to be way more adult than what we're used to in Star Wars. And I think even more adult than what we get in The Mandalorian.
Like The Mandalorian, right.
Yeah. And they kept talking about it, but nothing ever really materialized out of it except for this, I guess.
I guess, yeah. It's crazy. Like, just from the test footage and, like, seeing what the show kind of would have been like, I mean, I would love to see that show.
Yeah.
You know, I think it'd be great to see Coruscant under the Empire.
Yes.
That's something that we really haven't explored that much. And it would kind of be a bridging the gap between the prequels generation and the original trilogy generation.
Right.
You know, because you got stormtroopers, but they're on Coruscant, right. You know.
It looked like a prequel movie. But then when you see the stormtroopers, you're like, wait a second. Like,
oh, right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. I would have liked to see it. And I don't think those ideas are going to go away forever. Like, they're going to kind of pick and choose and like other concepts from that are going to pop up.
And they already have.
Like, I think a lot of them have already been Clone Wars episodes. You know?
Like level 1313. That was going to be a video game at one point, and then they canceled that video game. But you do see that in the Clone Wars. That was all from Star Wars Underworld.
Yeah. So, those concepts are going to live on and everything like that. But I don't know. It was cool to see.
I imagine a show of this nature would have been very much like the Clone Wars, where it's not a linear thing, and it's more of a episode. Here's this arc.
Like an anthology.
Like an anthology series. Kind of like his Indiana Jones thing that he did, the Young Indiana Jones.
Young Indiana Jones, yeah.
Never in order. You're always confused as what is happening. That kind of thing.
I wonder, like, I've always wanted, because George Lucas was super inspired by, like, all the old serials and stuff. Like, I've never watched those. Are, like, a lot of those anthologies?
Yes.
I would think.
They're over the place. But, like, when they were on Amazon Prime for a little bit, like, they attempted to put it in order. And so, like, you could tell, like, when someone had cut their hair or someone had aged significantly, mm-hmm. because they went back and filmed, like, the next episode that would, like, follow that storyline later or earlier. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So, like, not everything looked great all the time. In fact, just kind of fun quick story on the Indiana Jones show, when they were
oh, so you're talking specifically about that one. I was talking about serials, like, in general.
No, I'm talking about this one specifically. You know, that was like early 90s, I want to say, like, when they did that, early mm-hmm. 90s, when he was filming The Phantom Menace, he got everybody back to film like one little scene that he never got to film, like in Tunisia with the cast, and then went back and put it in like years and years after the show had ended. That's the kind of person George Lucas is. He's always like adding and changing his stuff. He always is.
Yeah.
That's crazy to me.
I'm asking really dumb questions here because serial, the word means in a like continuing, a continuous plot, like episode after episode. So I'm asking dumb questions.
No.
So that was just, that's just a thing that George Lucas does.
Except he doesn't follow.
Make things out of order.
Like, it's not continuous for him. Like, in the sense of...
No, that's what I'm saying. He just makes things out of order.
Why? Why does he...
I don't know.
Why does he think like that?
I don't know.
I would say that's probably my...
I understand, like, when Star Wars, like, 1977, when it's first hitting theaters, like, and it's like... If it's episode, was it episode four originally? Did they have episodes four in the
crawl? I feel
like
they added those in the '80s, like kind of like maybe at Empire Strikes Back, but originally,
yeah,
it was just Star Wars. Well,
the first time you hear like you saw like episode something, if you're coming in the middle, you're like, oh whoa, I'm coming into something that's like bigger than even what I'm like just about to see, you know. So that's like kind of cool, but then you just, I don't know, seems like things get kind of weird.
I would say my biggest complaint with the Clone Wars is that like I could watch an episode and Darth Maul appears and then I don't see him for another season.
Right.
Like, what?
That's why I like to like pick and choose and watch. Okay, I'm going to watch the Darth Maul arc.
Right.
Like, you know, or I'm going to go, okay, I'm watching Mortis and that's it, you know, just like individual things.
That's really all you need to watch anyway. Mortis. Okay. That's a good arc. So, yeah.
Anyway, any other thoughts about Star Wars Underworld test footage?
I was just trying to discern, like, is there anything plot-wise we could pick from this?
I feel like it's just a very...
Was
like,
she supposed to be a Jedi? Because she had a very Jedi look.
That's what she looked like. She was wearing a robe.
The
and,
white
and
underneath.
That kind
of
thing. Right. But, I don't know.
She had a cool speeder.
Yeah, it was almost like the Batmobile of Star Wars.
It's like the...
It could, like, shock
but
people.
The
and...
Batman Beyond Batmobile.
Yeah.
So. It's pretty cool. Yeah, I don't know. Do you think... Because before I found out this was on the internet this whole time, I was thinking, why is this just now,
why now?
Popping up?
Yeah.
But I still am thinking that.
I still kind of... Yeah.
Is there a purpose?
Because maybe just to kind of feed into the idea that like Star Wars television, like that's where
it's what George wanted.
You know, it's what we're doing.
It's what,
or just like this is the way.
This is the way.
This is the way.
I will say that if there is a show coming that will look probably similar to this style or be similar to this style, it'll be the Cassian Andor series.
Yes. Because it's going to be a lot of spy stuff.
And I imagine he would have to go to Coruscant.
And
I would hope so.
At some point,
I would like to see it again. I mean...
Yeah. And like I said, like we've never really seen it under the Empire.
Right.
Know?
It would be fun.
We didn't see it in Rebels, did we?
I don't think we've seen it really in since Disney's taken over. Not really. Besides Clone Wars.
Yeah.
No, wait. Briefly in Rogue One, you see it like out the window in the flashback. You do see it in Rogue One.
Oh. Okay. Well, you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Actually get to be there for a little bit.
Yeah. Okay.
Cool. Well, seeing the test footage and everything, and even though it's just test footage, how it looked and everything like that. I am glad that this was the, you know, 2019 was the year that we got the first Star Wars live action series, because there's been a lot of really cool innovations in like filmmaking technology that made The Mandalorian possible.
Yeah. What are they, Mac?
So specifically, I just wanted to bring up this one thing and talk about it on the show. And that was just a very elaborate segue.
Yeah, I liked it though.
And I'm sure everybody's seen kind of the articles like, you know, and set pictures and stuff like that floating around, but like a lot of the, you know, the shots where they're outside and in the desert and on the ice fields and stuff like that, that I assumed they shot on location somewhere because they looked so good,
right?
they actually used this new technology called Stagecraft.
Okay.
Where basically they make, like, they surround a sound stage with these LED screens and do rear projection. And so they're basically, it's real footage that, like, one person goes out and shoots, comes back, they blow it up on these screens on set, and then the Mandalorian acts in front of it.
That's really cool, because, like, I would imagine as an actor, it'd be very hard to act in front of a green screen.
Yes, because you're not there, you know? This, I think it's really cool. It's the marriage of, like, kind of the commitment to practical effects that we've seen in the new Star Wars era. Like, obviously there's been CG all over the place, but, like, there has been, you know, versus the prequels where they were just like, yep, everything's painted. Like, it's just a blue screen. Their people are real and nothing else is, right? But, like, they've tried to make a conscious effort to include more practicality and practical effects, that sort of thing. And this is, like, the perfect marriage of the two, because you have real footage, like, that's, you know, somebody went out and shot, so it looks as real as any other film. And but it's, like, the convenience of you know, doing multiple, like, compositing, you know, like you would against a green screen or something like that. And so, like, I imagine it's a lot faster than the traditional green screen process.
Well, it would have to be, right? I mean, with the TV show schedule, you got to move a little quicker.
Right. Right. And cheaper.
Yep.
And, like, I don't know. It's just a super cool technology, I think. And, like, even when you're on set, like, even though it's film and it's, like, a more or less flat surface that you're acting in front of, like, there's depth between you and it, so you still get, like, real in-camera depth and stuff, which is something that I think CG, that's, like, the uncanny valley thing that we've never gotten over. Is just the fact that, like, it's really hard to create depth in, like, a authentic way.
I would
way,
say that's, you know, very apparent in the prequels, right?
Yes.
Like, when you're...
It looks like it's all just flat. Like, yeah.
Especially episode 2. Episode 3 is not as bad. Yeah. But
they were getting better as they go along. Right. But I, like, even still in, like, you know, all the, like, the Marvel movies that are still coming out and everything like that, like, and the new Star Wars movies, like, there's just times where I think depth is an issue. And this is just super cool because you can create in camera depth stuff.
Right.
And you can do it twice.
Yeah.
Cause you shoot it the first time and then you shoot it the second time.
I don't know.
It's just cool. And, also, for the screens, the little LED crystals, you have to grow them.
Wait.
And it takes, like, 6 years to grow.
You grow crystals? Like...
Yeah. Like a cave, like, that lights it.
Like a kyber crystal? That's incredible. Like, what kind of crystal is this?
I don't know. Like, I think that's just, like, what the LED screen's made out of.
That's crazy.
Like...
A crystal. Yeah. What if it breaks?
And apparently it takes, like, 6 years to grow, and you have to grow all of the screens you're going to use, you have to grow them all at the same time, so they're done at the same time.
That's kind of...
And then you, like, use, like, those screens.
That's kind of weird, but cool, too.
I don't know. It's really cool. I don't know anything, like, in-depth about that process. Kathleen Kennedy just made, a comment about you have to... grow the crystals for them. So I don't know. I'm assuming that's just kind of like what you're projecting.
Like crystal meth.
I don't know. Yes. That's why the Mandalorian, that's how they were able to do it for cheaper, because they offset the production costs by selling.
Got Heisenberg back there making crystal meth. Huh.
Yeah.
And that's the connection with Rian Johnson, because he directed 2 episodes of Breaking Bad.
Correct. And that's, I mean, it's all, it's like poetry. It rhymes.
That's incredible. Now, that's not the only new technology they had, though. Like, they had that thing where, like, they can see on camera, like, when they're filming the, like, if there's a CGI character, right? Like, they got that thing. Is that different?
It's like real time.
Yeah. Like
rendering and acting. Yeah, it is. I don't know as much about that one. Just because it didn't, like, capture my imagination.
Yeah, you don't have to grow crystals for that one.
Right. I'm really only interested in filmmaking innovation that you have to grow crystals for. So,
That's incredible. Yeah. Cool. So, hey, are you ready to announce our super secret thing that we've been teasing for like a month now?
I am, but I'm so nervous. People are going to throw their phones across Why? The room that this was it. They're going to wreck their cars.
What? I hope not. we're not legally bound to pay for anything that you destroy.
Oh, no. We are not liable.
Right now, we're just declaring that out,
just,
out into
just
the
quick
world.
Quick disclaimer.
Yeah.
But I feel like everybody's going to get real bummed when they figure out what we're
now.
Really
I mean, they probably will now because you've planted that seed in their mind.
Oh, no. Don't be bummed. It's
don't
great.
Be bummed. This is exciting news. I think it's exciting because it means more Mandalorian watch.
That's true.
It means way more content.
It does. It means more, you know, intimate engagement with the audience.
That's true. So here we go. Drum roll, please. We're launching a Patreon for the Mandalorian watch.
Surprise.
So, okay, here's the deal. I am kind of curious what people thought it would be like.
Yes.
I mean, what else could it be?
Please let us know how disappointed you are and what you thought it was going to be that was going to be cool.
Now, here's why you should not be disappointed, because this means...
Yes, you should not.
You are going to get bonus content. That means bonus episodes.
Yes.
That means interacting with us on a more personal level.
Indeed.
And that also means warm feelings knowing that you're helping support this podcast, which is not free to make.
It's not free for us to make it. And so far it has been free for you guys. But we love the support and everything like that. But if we were not worried about like where support for the show was coming from, I feel like that frees us up to do a lot more with the
Absolutely.
Show.
So, okay. So here's the deal. If you decide not to join the Patreon, pretty much everything will still stay the same for you. Like, don't.
Absolutely.
We're not going to hold episodes back from you. So like our normal episodes when, especially in season,
like when the season 2 of The Mandalorian comes out, every episode, you know, for each chapter is going to be fully available to the public at large.
Absolutely.
That's always going to be the model. I mean, that's the main event. That's the main attraction. That's always going to be just out there ready for anyone to engage
Absolutely.
With. But we know that there's a lot of you who want to go deeper and want to, you know, engage more often. So things like commentary tracks for each chapter of The Mandalorian.
I'm actually really excited about that one.
That's definitely a planned thing that we're going to be working on, you know, to provide to the Patreon supporters. I mean, I think it'd be cool. We can all, you know, hit play at the same time and watch like The Mandalorian together. I think that's a super cool thing.
It's like our rewatch before season 2.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm excited about that one.
So stuff like that, you know, we might do, we're going to be doing more, you know, interaction in a number of different ways that, you know, as things get solidified and everything, we'll reveal more about, but, you know, a lot more opportunities to, you know, interact with us and then also interact with yourselves, you know, dedicated spaces for you guys just to talk about, what's going on with the show and also our show.
So, like he said, we're doing bonus commentary tracks for The Mandalorian on each episode. The way that we've kind of got that scheduled out is that there'll be one a month, and that should lead us right into kind of season 2. And so that's our bonus episode. We're also going to be doing, like he said, extra voicemail hotline episodes, especially when we're in season for The Mandalorian. Those will be exclusive to our Patreon, the extra voicemail hotline episodes.
Yes, there will still be voicemail episodes that are available to everybody. It's just, like we said, we're not trying to take anything away that we're already doing. We're just trying to
absolutely
and build. So it's all constructive. It's not going to be destructive.
Exactly. And then if you were always interested in what we thought about other Star Wars things, that kind of stuff will go on the Patreon feed.
That's probably going to be in the Patreon, too.
Where
so things like maybe Like, we might actually talk publicly about The Rise of Skywalker at some point.
I think we will next month.
We're probably going to have to do that.
Next month, when it comes out digitally, I think we will talk about The Rise of Skywalker on our Patreon feed. Oof.
That's going to be...
I can't wait. Yeah, I think it's definitely worth it for that alone.
For that alone. Just join for that month.
We might even talk about some other things, too. Really, it's going to be like... We know exactly what we want to do, but we might add even more to the Patreon feed than what we already have planned. And so it's definitely going to be worth your money.
For sure. And speaking of the money, we are not going to be asking a lot at all. We're right now, the way we have it, and everything that we're talking about is subject to change. Because the Patreon is not live at this moment. We're still finalizing a couple of the fine details, but we will make you very aware when we are now accepting donations. Yeah. So we're thinking about two tiers, and those two tiers are just at $1 and $2. Right. The most we're going to be asking of anybody is
$2. $2 for extra episodes every single month, which... I don't think is a lot to. I mean, there's some Patreons. I'm not going to name names.
They can get outrageous. they can get up to like, people have like $150 tiers.
Yeah, thanks.
No.
No thanks.
Like, I have to eat. I cannot listen to your show if I'm dead.
Right.
Because I starved.
We'd appreciate that kind of money, but we're also realistic. Yeah. So we've got the $1 tier and then the $2 tier.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's pretty much it right now. I mean, like I said, everything's subject to change. And if people get really into the Patreon stuff and want even more, you know, we'll take more money. We'll revisit. Yeah. But, basically all we're trying to do is just keep the lights on at the Mandalorian Watch.
Well, no.
Just so that we can...
I do want to say with the Patreon, this is very, very important. All the money that you're donating goes directly back into the podcast. All of it.
Correct.
So it's just to make the Mandalorian Watch even better than what it is right now. And so it goes directly into the podcast and in producing it. And then also just like giveaways, those type of things, just to make it even better for you guys.
Right. You know, Alex and I both have full-time jobs, and this is not either of our full-time job. This is not a job for either.
Though in season, it can feel like a full-time job.
It can definitely feel like a full-time job. But like that said, like, you know, we're not trying to we're good. We're not trying to, you know, support ourselves or anything. Like personally, like all we want to do is just keep this show, because we're not doing this as a job. Like, if it's costing us money, it's really hard to do.
Right.
You know? So we're just trying to make it self-sufficient and allow it to grow.
Exactly.
You know? So like, you know, the money is going to be going to, you know, things just like hosting fees, you know, prizes for giveaways. Like, we're going to be doing a lot more of that kind of stuff to hopefully, you know, attract more Mandalorians to the watch.
Hopefully,
you know,
some merch too.
Yeah. You know, pay some artists for some designs and stuff. Maybe upgrading some production quality on our end, and you know, just like things like that. That's what the money is going to be
absolutely
going for. You know, if we ever like get into doing ads or anything like that, you know, that is not going to cost you guys money. Like that, you know, who knows what happened to that. But as far as the Patreon goes, all going back into the
absolutely
show.
Always. You can trust us to put it right back into the show. Cool.
Cool. Be on the lookout for that.
It's launching this month. It will be in February.
This month. Yeah. So we'll keep you updated. Trust me, we will make you aware.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Yep.
All right.
So anyway, also charity. I think like this year, the Mandalorian Watch did like donate to some charities around Christmas time. And so I think like Patreon money can also go to that.
So
us as a community can, you know, do some good.
Absolutely.
So,
cool. Let's do some voicemails.
Well, let's do some voicemails. Let's hear from some people.
Hi, Mac and Alex. I'm calling to tell you that there is another Mac out there with MAC, and that's me. I'm calling from Arizona. I love your podcast so much, and it's been a great companion to The Mandalorian. And because of you, I've started watching The Clone Wars, and I'm liking it a lot. I've never seen it before, and I didn't realize that it could be so much fun. So thank you for that, and you guys are doing a great job, and can't wait for the next episode. Happy holidays, Merry Christmas, or whatever it is that you celebrate, and talk to you later. That is the way.
Well. Looks like Alex isn't the only one that has somebody that shares his name. You know, I've been waiting for this moment. The Mac army is rising up.
You're a clan of two. A clan of two, that's for sure.
Look, but yeah, so Mac from Arizona. Yeah. Happy to make the acquaintance. Super glad you called in. That made my day.
Merry Christmas, yeah, Mac.
Look, we're a little behind, y'all.
Well, that goes to show we get a lot of voicemails, guys, and so we can't get to all of them. But we did want to point out that Mac has another Mac with an MAC, and they are a clan of two. So congratulations.
Indeed. All you other Macs out there, I know there's at least one more of you. At least one more of you. Call in. Let me know.
I need Alex Army to rise up right now, because Mac is getting a little too confident.
I was scrolling through the voicemails, and there's several Alexes, I think. So I think you're in fine company.
So, I will say, Mac, I'm excited. Not you, Mac, but other Mac listening.
Yeah,
I'm excited that you are into the Clone Wars, and if you're listening right now, we also reviewed every single Clone Wars and Rebels episode that had to do with the Mandalorians, just like the style we did for the Mandalorian. So you can go and find that on our feed and watch those episodes and then listen to those episodes, because I think they're pretty good. They're fun.
Yeah. Be like Mac. You'll discover that they're great.
Yeah. If you're anything like me right now, I'm kind of rewatching some of my favorite episodes of the Clone Wars before the new season. So it's a good time to really go check that stuff out.
Yeah, for sure. And we'll, you know, catch y'all in like 20 days?
Something like that.
19. We'll be doing some Clone Wars stuff.
On the Mandalorian stuff.
Yes. Yeah.
Sorry. Just Mandalorian.
No, it's all good. All right. Well, Mac, thanks so much for the call. And let's get to the next one.
Hey, what's up, Mac and Alex? It's Matthew from Delaware again. First and foremost, just wanted to say thank you guys for the love you showed me on my last voicemail that I left. And another thing is just keep on doing what you're doing. I've been loving keeping up with this journey of ours, which is The Mandalorian. I've been loving your critiques on the whole show, your thoughts, your theories. It's killer. So I'm just going to jump right into it. I want to talk about two things today. One being something that I don't think we've ever really touched on, but it's so huge and so central for the Star Wars universe, and that is the music. I know you guys are both musicians here, and likewise for me, for myself as well. Mac, I know you're in a band. Alex, I know you're a music teacher. I was in a band for a long time, and I also studied music at the University of Delaware to become a music teacher, so cut from the same cloth. And so with that in mind, I just wanted to talk about our composer for the Mandalorian, Ludwig. I don't know if you know this, but he is the central producer for the for all of the background music. Rapper of mine, but as a film or TV composer, I just think he's doing a fantastic job. I think it is incredibly different from what John Williams would have done with this type of media. However, I think Ludwig's doing a great job of putting his own taste on the Star Wars universe. And all that jazz. So I'd love to hear what your thoughts are. One personal favorite of mine is during episode 5 when they're on Tatooine, there's the scene with the Tusken Raiders. And go back and watch this. I think you'll appreciate it. I knew from the second this scene started, you'd hear the muted trumpets. And I was like, oh, we're about to see some Tusken Raiders. And sure enough, Tusken Raiders show up. And I thought that was a really cool callback to when John Williams uses muted trumpets back in, episode 4. So I just thought that was really cool. Anyway, would love to hear your thoughts about the music. My second point, more on the actual story of the show. let's talk about Moff Gideon holding the Darksaber. Would love to hear you guys kind of just break down what this could mean. You know, who did he have to kill in order to get hold of this saber? Probably Bo-Katan, but maybe there was someone in the middle of that that had it. Maybe she passed it down to. I'm not sure, but that means that what happened to Bo-Katan? What happened to that person who might have been had it passed down to? I'm not sure. And then lastly here, on the same side, if there's a Darksaber, I believe that that Darksaber will also be combating a regular lightsaber. And if that's the case, who will that lightsaber belong to? What that also kind of means, like, what Jedi will we see go up against Moff Gideon, who's going to have the Darksaber? That's all for me, guys. Let me know what you think, and I'm excited to hear from you. Keep on the watch, and I'll see you soon. Bye-bye.
Matthew from Delaware, another fantastic call. Guys, that's how you do voicemail hotline calls. He did it with like 3 seconds to spare, by the way, too, which is very impressive.
He made it in. He the economy of words and speed and well done. I'm afraid that he's gonna usurp my position.
Listen, if there's ever a day where I feel like, you know what, Mac, you're not cutting it, I'm going to kill you and replace you with Matthew from Delaware. And I'm not going to even mention it. Like, we're just going to keep going as if it's always been that way.
Yeah. He'll be like, all right, Matthew Army, rise up.
No, what are your thoughts? Let's break down. He had 2 points specifically. Let's start with the music. What is your thought on the music side of The Mandalorian?
Yeah, man, and I'm very surprised that we have not gone into this more. First of all, Alex, nice to know that you're also a musician.
Well, okay. I'm not a music teacher. I do the musicals at my school, but I'm not the music teacher. I'm actually the English teacher.
You obviously have a musical
ear. Yes, I do.
If you're directing the musical. So.
That was a misunderstanding, not on Matthew's part, but the way I communicated that.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No worries. We're all on the same page. I just thought it was funny. Also, I am in a band, Jupiter Missile. You've probably heard the music in the first
thing on the show. I assume they heard
it's gonna be the last thing. So you can check out, we have like a 6-song EP out on Spotify and Apple Music and all the music.
I'm really trying to convince them to write like a specific theme song for us.
Yeah, I mean it could happen. It could happen.
That's a no.
he knows me well. So
that is
the music in The Mandalorian anyway. Ludwig, and then his last name, Goranson?
Yes, that's
something
admirable.
Like that.
Very good.
Pretty. It's a respectable attempt, at least. I'm just gonna take the Matthew approach and say Ludwig.
Yeah, let's Ludwig.
I think he did a wonderful job. I thought that the point about the same kind of using the same motif with the muted trumpets to signify Tusken Raiders, great point out. I loved kind of the infusion of some more modern elements into the classical scoring. There's some moments in the show that have like a straight up almost like hip hop beat.
Yes.
Like, and I think it works super.
There's
well.
Also like a lot of guitar like, riffs when, especially when you see
Death
Watch.
Yeah. Yeah. but you've still got the same, you know, classical elements there too. Like that are like, it's just nothing's missing and it's added.
Yes.
You know, like it's really good. I think the hip hop elements that show up a lot, and Matthew's voicemail cut out a little bit, I think probably just due to the voicemail service or whatever. I think you were saying that maybe Ludwig does like a lot of production for hip hop. I know he did like Black Panther.
Yep.
He did the score for it.
Love that score, by the way.
Very good.
He did it
score.
For Creed as well. And that's why I think a lot of times the Mandalorian theme itself can feel a little bit like Rocky's. I don't know if you've kind of noticed that, but like the Mandalorian's main theme, You could almost kind of play the Rocky theme right out of it, or it's very similar. There's a very late 70s vibe to the Mandalorian theme that I'm really digging.
Well, it's very Western.
Yeah, too. It's Aboriginal too. Like, there's these like didgeridoos that you can hear in the background. He just uses like everything.
Yeah. And I love that because, you know, this is a part of the Star Wars galaxy that we've never seen before.
Right.
Like this world, this little slice of it. And I think the infusion of all these different kind, this, you know, elements from everywhere, all over our globe, all kind of amalgamate to make a really unique and alien sound, like soundscape,
yeah,
which a galaxy far, far away should have.
Right.
You know? And I think it's great. We could probably do a whole, maybe a Patreon episode on the music of the Mandalorian.
I think we should. No, seriously, I think we should. Just, okay, real quick, last point on the music. What is your favorite track that comes to your mind? Like, maybe you don't know the specific track, that's fine, but like something that just kind of stands out to you musically from the episodes of The Mandalorian.
Man, there's this, I think it's during, maybe episode 7.
I think we're about to say the same one.
There's this point, like this point where like kind of everything's going wrong, right?
That's the same one.
Down, and there's,
it's called The Arrival, and it's
The Arrival.
It's when Moff Gideon shows up.
I
kind of said this when we were reviewing the episodes. It almost sounds like Killmonger's theme a little bit from Black Panther.
Yeah,
and there's just like this really cool beat with it that I dig.
Yeah. It's like, man, it sets him perfectly up. And like, it's like his hi-hat groove, kind of like a 808 hi-hat kind of thing. It really just like sets him up to be like, okay, this is the dude. Like, he's the mob boss has just shown up, you know, like this is him. Like he's the baddest dude here. Like, that's, and that, you know, the score, I think, perfectly conveys that. It's
cool
that we had the same one.
That's mine as well.
That's exactly what I was going to talk about.
I mean, besides
about,
the Mandalorian theme, which I find myself humming,
it's iconic.
Humming in my head.
Yes.
And I've been missing the show so much. Like, I've just been listening to the music, especially right now I'm doing my master's program, and that's what I listen to when I'm writing my papers.
Yeah.
It makes it go so much faster. But yeah, the arrival of Moff Gideon. Now let's talk about Moff Gideon and the Darksaber. That's Matthew's second point.
So this
point.
Was the second half of that voicemail. Yeah, and this is something I think we've touched on here and there in passing, but we really haven't. I'm gonna give my solidified theory for what we're gonna see in season two.
Here we go.
This is wild speculation, just using the information
I
have.
This is something that we're very good at.
My knowledge of narrative structure and that sort of thing. But I have no indication that any of this is going to be coming to pass. Just my wild speculation. I think we are going to meet... The Mandalorian will get captured at some point and be thrown in some sort of prison facility. And Bo-Katan will be in there.
Ooh.
Because I think that Moff Gideon probably got it from Bo-Katan, you know, like Matthew said. She's the last person that we know had it before this, right? Knowing her character, I don't think she would ever give it up willingly.
Right.
But I think she's still alive because I want her to be.
Right. Well,
there's
also a possibility we get a flashback from Moff Gideon's perspective of how he got it, and that's how we could see her as well.
Yeah.
As he kills her.
But I want her to
oh, sure,
continue.
Sure.
I like her character.
Absolutely.
Right? So, that's what I think.
Do you think that we'll ever see the Darksaber in live action clash with a real lightsaber?
Like Matthew was saying, in live action,
I don't think we'll see it in The Mandalorian.
I don't think in The Mandalorian. And I think to see it, we would have to go back to before Tor Vizsla.
Okay, so...
Like, I think we'd have to have his
yeah, absolutely.
Story. Like,
I don't think that we will, but I will... It's my turn to wildly speculate.
All right, let's hear it.
Season 2 is going to be about finding little baby Yoda's family, right? Okay, mm-hmm. Maybe season...
Whatever that family sure. is.
Maybe season yep. 3 will be about getting the Darksaber back to who it belongs to. And it might not be Bo-Katan mm-hmm. anymore. And so it right. might be something along the lines of, like, the Mandalorian might be carrying it, but he's not going to, like, hold... Like, it's not going to be his. Like, he knows he's not going to lead Mandalore, yeah. so he needs to find the person who will lead Mandalore and get that back to him. Right. But I just... I don't see, like, a lightsaber battle happening on the Mandalorian. If it no. did, I'd be very shocked.
I would be too. I'm just thinking of who it would have to be, and it would have to be somebody from Luke's academy.
And I don't think it's far.
And I don't think we're gonna.
I don't think it's far enough along anyway for us to see that. And
yeah,
the only other person that might make sense is Ezra, and I don't.
And they're not going to, that's not,
they're not touching
happen,
that. That would be the Rebels sequel series that's been rumored. You know, they're not going to yeah. do that. So,
right.
Well, no, I don't know. I don't know what will happen with the Darksaber, but obviously that was one of the biggest questions coming out of season 1. So they're going to address sure. it. That's for sure.
For sure. But yeah, Matthew, thanks so much for the email or the voicemail.
And Matthew, that's why you will be replacing Mac. In the coming months. So get ready for that transition.
Indeed. Yep. All right, let's do, I think we got time for maybe
yeah,
one
let's do
more.
One more. This is on.
The big game.
The big
Alex.
Game, sorry.
I'm going to have to bleep that out now.
Are you really? Is that a thing?
It kind of is a thing.
Really?
Like, you're not supposed to say unless you're this because it's a trademark.
Really? Yeah. The big game. Yeah, please bleep me out then.
No, it's also like the dumbest thing in the world, right? Like, I feel like this has been genericized like a Band-Aid or Kleenex. Like, even though those are brands and like trademarks, they have become, they were so good at their jobs that now they're just the generic term for the product they
okay.
make. So I feel like that's also this.
Let's get into our next voicemail.
Hey, Mando Watch. I've been listening for the last several months, all the way back to your Mando History 101 video, and I figured I would call in for the first time with a couple of theories and a couple of questions. The first theory that I have is I think that Moff Gideon, we're going to find out, is some kind of trained Darksider. Call me crazy, but the imagery that he has the Darksaber, that they're putting him up as a physical threat, I mean, it makes sense. Otherwise, you know, if he's not, he's pretty much just the guy that Mando can shoot. So, you know, on the other flip side of that, I think that we will also see a return to canon, or at least, you know, screen canon. It's already mentioned in a few reference books. We will see that Beskar is indeed still resistant to lightsaber blades. As far as questions, I wanted to know, If I'm wrong on these, do you guys think that we will get to see Mando, now known as, you know, Din Djarin, will we see him take down some kind of Force user, you know, one-on-one and really, really show that history and really demonstrate to everybody? And two, do you think that we'll get more information on the Mandalorian wars with the Jedi in canon? Not the, you know, the Legends version, but whatever the new version is. Anyway, I hope this makes it into the episode, and thank you guys. Have a great one.
Thank you, Nameless Mandalorian. thanks for calling in. Sorry we didn't get your name. But great call. It was
yeah.
awesome. So
made me think. You
know, yeah, and we're also... this episode has ended up, through the voicemails we've received, being very, like, lightsaber, darksaber...
Yeah.
...centric.
I'm going to put that in the title, that's
thing,
for sure.
Yeah. Moff Gideon being some kind of dark side Force user. I could see it being possible in that...
Like an Inquisitor?
At the end of the Empire? Yeah. And, like, so not, like, he's not going to be a Sith Lord, because there's only two, right? But you had the Inquisitors, some lesser... They're basically just, like, assassins, mm-hmm. right? Assassins for hire. Pawns.
They can, like, use the Force a little bit, but not to an extent
a little bit,
that
yeah.
a Jedi or Sith could.
And then, so maybe... Also, this is going to be my first tie-in to something we saw in The Rise of Skywalker.
Okay.
I think this is the first time I've ever tying anything in from that. But we had the one Imperial guy, and I have already forgotten his name.
Pride, General Pride.
Pride. Mm-hmm. I feel like he was, like, sort of the dark
side. Like, he knew what was going on.
He knew he was serving a Sith Lord,
yeah.
right, the whole time.
Kind of so like the soldiers in Knights of the Old Republic knew they were serving Sith Lords.
Right.
Okay.
So maybe it could be that sort of thing, where he's maybe not even himself a Force user, but is just aware of the dark side, and maybe he's kind of coming from that whole, like... Palpatine's advisor... Who led the Acolytes of the Beyond. Like, he wasn't a dark side Force user, but he was like a...
Yeah, he...
Acolyte.
He believed in it. Kind of like Lor San Tekka believes right. in the light side of the Force.
In the light
but
side.
But he can't
right.
access it or feel it or anything like that.
Right. Same sort of idea. So, like, my money would be on maybe that.
Okay.
But also, I think he's... It could very well be the case that he just has the Darksaber because he... wipes out Mandalorians, and that's what he does.
That's where I'm leaning towards. I don't think that he is a Force user. I think he just has the Darksaber more as a symbol of power than what, like, actually using
yes.
it. I think he will use it.
Right.
And I did yeah. like the idea that he said, okay, now we'll see, like, on screen, does Beskar resist lightsabers? I think we could absolutely see that with the Mandalorian facing Gideon.
Yeah. It would be a way for that fight not to be over
right.
in a minute.
And
right?
he could be using his, like, his gauntlets
correct.
In that and, like, fighting hand-to-hand combat with him without using a lightsaber.
Right.
Which would be very cool when you think about that.
I think it'd be very cool. It would kind of support the whole idea that the Mandalorian's armor and, you know, equipment is all kind of... you know, geared towards fighting Jedi, kind of the ancestral enemy. Which brings us to
yeah.
kind of the second yes. part of the question. Do we think that we're going to see... I think that if we get a Knights of the Old Republic... or
the High Republic.
The High Republic. Yeah. We're going to see Mandalorians in the High Republic.
Oh,
and we're going to
no
see...
doubt now that the Mandalorian is
yes.
so popular. Like, I think before
right.
that probably wasn't even on their radar. Now they're absolutely going to prioritize Mandalorians in whatever they do movie wise, because it's been so popular
right.
in the show. And now people are familiar yeah. with who are Mandalorians. I wouldn't say they're quite up there with Jedi, but they're gaining traction with a general
right.
audience of who they are, what they believe
for sure.
in, those type of things.
Mandalorian is now a household
exactly.
word, which before this
no.
was like a super kind of obscure nerdy
exactly.
thing, right? I'm like, among Star Wars fans, obviously it's a, you know, been a popular
sure.
concept, but yeah. So in answer to the caller's question, you know, are we going to see the Mandalorian, you know, Din take down a Force user? I think probably not. Just because I can't think of who that would be, but I think we definitely are going to get Mandalorians taking on Jedi, seeing that old, you know, Jedi-Mandalorian war. We're going to get some of that kind of stuff in the High Republic.
Like you said with the Tar Vizsla thing, if we're ever going to see the Darksaber being used against another lightsaber, it's during that time period or before. And I think mm-hmm. we will. I think that will happen. It might not happen very soon, but I do think eventually
right.
that's going to happen because... Like you said, the Mandalorian is a household name now. People know
right.
when you say Mandalorian what that means. So,
yeah. And it's not just like, oh, why does this guy look like Boba Fett now?
Exactly.
You know?
And in fact, I don't know if I'm allowed to say this. This might be...
Oh, Din is the best Mandalorian and Boba Fett's overrated now?
Yeah.
I kind of agree.
Like
you got to give respect.
Sure, he's the first.
He's the OG. He's the first. As far as character-wise, though, now after the prequels...
Okay, yeah. Put Boba Fett and Din Djarin in a room. Who's walking out alive?
From what we've seen on screen?
From what we've seen on screen.
It's not even a contest.
I know, that's what I'm saying.
Boba Fett, we never saw him kill anybody on screen.
No, he's like a bumbling idiot on screen. He just...
The only thing we saw him do was fly into a Sarlacc.
And then scream all the way down to his death.
I understand that we are deeply offending some people right now.
Probably some of our longest listeners, but
you gotta be
honest with yourself, though. I mean, come on.
Yeah. I think Boba Fett is super cool. I mean, his look inspired this whole thing. We wouldn't be talking to you on this podcast unless Boba Fett looked the way he did, right? His design, phenomenal. In Legends, he's been awesome. But if we're talking canon and we're talking taking into consideration everything with the prequels, and it's a wash,
yes.
I think, right? Yeah. So before you come at me, just know I'm operating under
Legends.
Those
Boba
conditions.
Fett would kill Din Djarin
instantly.
A heartbeat.
Yeah, right. Yeah, and even the Boba Fett from when we got the Age of Rebellion Boba Fett comic. Like, that Boba Fett would take
him. I don't know
but
about that.
I think that's maybe the first canon thing where Boba Fett's actually done much of
right.
anything.
Right. What we know from canon, so, Boba Fett just accidentally does things.
Right. Yeah. So, we're talking canon, like, mad respect for Legends Boba Fett, and don't want to step on anybody's, you know... Their love for that, but
as being honest, I think it's good to reflect.
I think it's good. I think it is.
Well, I think that will just about do it for this episode.
We'll end it on that note. Ending.
Yeah.
Ending.
Sorry. Darksaber.
Losing some listeners.
A lot of Darksaber talk.
Yeah. I like it.
People
I like
are
it.
Interested.
I mean, that was obviously the cliffhanger. That's the thing that we really don't have any answers to yet,
right.
You know? So,
huh.
Cool. All right. Well, listeners, again, we'll let you know when the Patreon and that kind of thing is up and going. We'll probably come back with another voicemail episode or something to announce that. You just let y'all know.
Well, actually...
Or maybe. I don't know. It might be a tweet.
Actually, I think I can announce what our next episode will be. I think I can announce.
Okay.
We're going to do our way too early season 2 predictions next.
Yes.
And so...
This is a time-honored tradition for me and Alex before any... We like to go on record way before it is sane to do so and give you our predictions.
We want your predictions,
now that episode 9 is out. Yes, absolutely. And we've never had an avenue to do that. So let's all get recorded being super wrong.
Yes.
And that it's fun. It's a lot
of fun. And then when season 2 is over, we can always go back to this episode and point out like who was right, who was wrong.
Yeah, it is a contest.
It is.
So, you know, play wisely. Right. But
yeah, no, seriously. Matthew from Delaware, I want to hear your season 2 predictions. Mac from Arizona, I want to hear your season 2 predictions. Mysterious Stranger who called last, I want to hear your predictions. Alex from everywhere.
Some shout outs. Rick, Mandalorian Mark.
Oh, Mark, where have you been, by the way?
Come on.
I want to hear your voice again. Like, I know we interact on Twitter all the time, but call in with your season
call
2
in.
Predictions.
We miss you.
We might have a special guest on that episode.
That's also
we
true.
We will have a special guest on that episode.
Yep. All right. So with that, I think we're good to go. Thank you guys so much for the continued support and you know, the show wouldn't be anything without you guys. So until our paths
cross.
Let's
go watch the big game. Oh, is that not the new ending? No?
Keep the watch.